Well, if you haven't been to the Jazz Cats website yet, you're missing the boat. And I truly mean that because there are many archived interviews on there held exclusively here on the Live with the Jazz Cats show, aired every Tuesday on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. However, you have a second and third and fourth chances if you'd like to go to the website. And that website is www.thejazzcat.net. And you'll be able to see all the or hear all the interviews archived there at the Live with the Jazz Cat show website. Again, that is www.thejazzcat.net. So without further ado, let's bring on Leroy Downs, host of Live with the Jazz Cat show. Leroy?
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, good to have you aboard, and I'll let you take it away.
Well, you know, I try to bring on the best and the most interesting people in the music, and today I have with me Mr. Roscoe Mitchell. Hey, Roscoe.
Hey, how are you?
Very well. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good, good. Now, you're up there in Oakland, and it's nice and lovely, just like it is here in Los Angeles, yes?
Yeah, the weather's pretty nice here today.
I'm sure it's wonderful in Carmel as well. You just got back from Canada playing with your big band group. Well, it's not necessarily a big band, just a larger ensemble.
Yes, that's correct. I just returned from Victoriaville, Quebec, Canada, playing a concert with my Note Factory, a band that consists of two pianos, two bass players, drummers, Corey Wilkson, some with instruments on piano, and DJ Iyer. For this particular concert, he was with filling in for Curtis Paper, Jesse Duke, and Harrison Banks on bass, Sonny Ball, and Mr. Davis on drums.
Quite a wonderful group of players.
Yes.
Well, you know, the concept of sound and notes in music is so infinite, yet so many people stop so short of discovering further possibilities. What inspires you to go beyond and reveal the magic of the unknown?
Well, I've always been interested in sound, you know, as a factor in itself. I think that's probably why I play a lot of different instruments, because I want to know about how the top end of the music works, how the middle works, and then also how the bottom works all well. I also became involved with percussion instruments during the stint where the development of the art ensemble was in progress. We played in a quartet for a while with Philip Wilson, a drummer, and then left to go to Paul Butterfield's blues band. And we played for without a drummer for a long time. So I started to explore putting together sound with percussion. I found that valuable because it kind of took you out of the 12-note system and helped give you another view of the problem.
Right. Well, as you mentioned, you play several horns, some of them at the same time. Out of all the instruments that you play, which ones do you find that you can easily create new sounds that have never been heard before?
Well, I mean, sometimes I may consider myself successful in a solo concert if I'm playing the saxophone, but I'm not going to sound like that too much. A friend is maybe go after is kind of an orchestral effect on the saxophone. I've also done concerts with people that have been involved in computer music over the years. I found that challenging in terms of trying to create a language that fits with the sound that the computer tends to do. So, I kind of look at it like that. I'm interested in seeing how to put sounds together in different ways. For instance, I may be playing something where the first part of it is a note off the saxophone and the next part may be a whistle or a bell or, kind of researching it.
Yeah, wonderful. You're listening to the great Roscoe Mitchell right here on your favorite jazz station. 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show is called Live with the Jazz Cat, on the For Locals Only show with Gary Hamada. You know, I just visited Chicago recently. It's a wonderful city, very beautiful. I did an interview with Von Freeman. I went to Fred Anderson's Velvet Lounge, the Symphony Center, and just tried to soak up as much of the jazz scene as I could. You and a few others were the jazz scene back in the day. What were some of your most memorable moments of playing back in Chicago?
Well, you mentioned some of them. I kind of grew up on Von Freeman, the Freeman brothers. I mean, when I came back to Chicago in 1961 after being in the Army, I mean, there were several clubs that had live music. You know, Von and George Freeman sang at the club, along with Billy Christian, Paul Serrano. Chicago was just, oh, it was just on fire with live music. You know, and I mean, right in the neighborhood, there were several clubs right in the neighborhood. The D-50 had a radio show. I don't know if you know if anyone had a radio show, but then later on, he went on to get the D-50 lounge over there on 54th and Cottage Grove. And mostly during the off night, there would be local musicians playing there. There would be sessions. Eddie Buster, organ player, was playing there. With him a lot. But on the weekends, John Coltrane, Gene Ammons, Sonny Smith, on and on and on, Jesse George, you know. So it was a very good experience for me, you know. I mean, every now and then I'll still run into Von Freeman. I mean, he's just so young and sounds so great. And I think I'll probably be seeing him this August when I go there for the Jazz Festival.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, he's a great cat. You know, there have been few that have created music organizations, but none quite as popular, I would think, as the AACM, or the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians. What was, or shall I say, still is the basic core philosophy of this group, and how has the music that has stemmed from these philosophies blossomed over the years?
Well, I think I there again, I was lucky being in Chicago at that time, and there was so many people around that wanted to create a new means of playing their music. And Chicago, the clubs were starting to have this license problem where if you wanted to have a trio, you paid a certain amount for a license. If you wanted to have more than a trio, then of course there was more money. Back. And then becoming a member of Lou Hall Richie Raven's experimental band, you know, a band that met every Monday on 57th Cottage Grove, Cecil's Lounge. And there you were actually encouraged to, you know, write compositions for the band and bring them in, have them play. And this, in my mind, is the basic start of the AACM. People started to talk. They had looked at the careers of musicians that had been out there on their own, and sometimes it just wasn't that great for them, you know, in that type of a struggle.
Right.
So we decided that we wanted to form an organization that we could sponsor each other in concerts of our own original competition. We also wanted to have a school for young aspiring. We also wanted to create employment wanted kids to reach out to musicians in other cities and bring musicians from other cities to Chicago and then have exchange programs with them where we sent musicians from the ACM to other cities. One of the first cities that we moved out into was St. Louis. I mean, the home of Oliver Lake. And the ACM still continues in the same way that it did then, with the same basic philosophy. There's two chapters of the ACM today. There's the Chicago chapter, and there's also a New York chapter of the ACM.
Oh, that's wonderful. You're listening to Roscoe Mitchell right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat, on 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. The Art Ensemble of Chicago has certainly developed this reputation on producing some of the world's most provocative music, I would say. With the way that jazz is labeled and segmented and critiqued upon, I mean, how have the musicians been able to have their art thrive over the years?
Well, I think that's also an important factor. I mean, by becoming a cooperative in a way, I think you stand a better chance, you know, in terms of the ACM and the Art Ensemble. I don't believe the Art Ensemble would have been able to thrive had it not become a cooperative. Back in the earlier days, when it was my group, I mean, we really weren't working that much, but everybody was still committed, had the same kind of vision. And when we decided to move to Europe, we decided to become the Art Ensemble in Chicago. But I mean, even before that, I mean, Lester Bowie, he sold all his furniture and everything he owned, you know, to take the band to Europe. You know what I mean? So it's always been that camaraderie, cooperative thinking, that I think that has really played a large part in people being able to survive. I mean, if you look at the experimental band of who called it today, which is a big band of different leaders, and so Anthony Braxton, Henry Correggio, Joseph Garman, before a couple of the members in this band passed away. As it's a large group of several small groups, and when we were in Europe in 1969, we carried the banner of the ACM with us, and we carried that same philosophy with us. I mean, we first got there, some of us was living in maybe Maison Blanc, which is with the mental hospital, because one of the doctors there, Thomas Clarence, you know, they gave us space to stay there, and then Lester was living in the Left Bank with his family. Eventually, we got a recording. We went on and got ourselves a house 18 kilometers north of Paris, Champs de La Forêt. Got some more work, bought a truck. I mean, on and on. We got a truck from a record company. We gave a truck to Frank right through. Just kind of coming together. I found that very important in a way. And it helps you to be able to overcome the bad times. So you have you know, some backup. You kind of learn how to create your own employment and so on like that. And it just keeps you sometimes on the better side of the bargain.
Yeah, it's great. It shows a lot of dedication to the music. I mean, we as artists today, we have to put in that type of effort to keep our music out there. And but with a collective getting together and pooling their money together and moving and buying things in order to live so that they can continue to play, that just shows tremendous dedication to the music.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the main things that is,
Yeah. Now, circular breathing is analogous to, like, the cycle of life. I mean, as the world spins in 360 degrees, the balance between night and day, hot and cold, and many other polar opposites are always cycling at a constant rate. I mean, how do you maintain your balance when breathing, hearing other instruments, feeling the energy of the audience, and expressing new ideas outside the box?
Well, I have to give that credit to Roland Kirk, you know, inspiration from that standpoint of view, you know. I think he's so amazing. Sometimes he would be in the dressing room, and then I'd walk in the room, and he'd say, who's that rocker? You know, and I'm trying to figure out, how do you know that? You know? Hey, Roland, man, I'm just coming down here to check you out, man. So I'm checking you out, man. So, you know.
That's great.
So, I mean, of course, I got interested in it through Roland Kirk. Eventually, I was able to do it. Some people can pick it up faster than others. I mean, I think the thing about it is not to think about it so much. What actually happens is every time you swallow, you have a valve in your throat that closes, which allows you to have air in your mouth to breathe through the nose to get more air down into your diaphragm.
seems to truly make you one with the music.
Yeah, and it's a very natural feeling, once you get the rhythm up.
Yeah. You're listening to Roscoe Mitchell right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Harmonic. Now, how can the average ear decipher the signal and receive the blessings of truth in the frequency of a Roscoe Mitchell message of music?
Well, now that's a good question there, Leroy. I consider myself a mere student of music. Music is, it's a big, very good. I don't know how anybody can achieve the whole picture within one lifetime. The Charlie Parker one of the same business, before he died. I mean, certainly when he started off, it's a difference in some of those records that came in Jay McCann. He was first to come in some of those places and where they were coming from. But he had figured out the mathematics to make all of that kind of thing work. I think John Coltrane is a wonderful, wonderful example. One of the people that was responsible for me to start thinking about me. And he came out with that recording Cold Train of Impulse.
Yeah.
And that had Out of This World.
Living Space.
Because I thought, wow, this is like so many different here what he's doing. Synthesizing kind of a motor-like concept. I went back to that record and started listening to that record. And then I went back and listened to Eric Dolphy and Ornette Coleman, and then everything started to make more sense to me. I think people may not have been thinking that this is even appropriate. So.
Yeah, you mentioned a few names, Ornette, Eric Train, there's Albert Eiler, Sam Rivers, and Rufus Harley, Sun Ra. I mean, what would you say would be a common denominator amongst these minds whose art some would consider musically abstract?
Well, now you mentioned one guy, Albert Eiler. Now, while I was in the Army, I was in the Heidelberg Germany band. Albert Eiler was in the Orleans France band. And our band would go to Berlin to join up with that band, and we did this large parade there. So all the musicians together, of course, there were a lot of sessions and so on. I was listening to Albert. And I couldn't quite understand what he was doing, but I thought, wait a minute, he has an enormous sound on the string saxophone. And then someone called the blues. And then Elvis played blues, rather conventional, for the first couple of voices. And then he just went on from there and stretched the boundaries of everything. That made a really good impression upon me, You mentioned Sam Rivers. I think it's an honor to play with them. I've been knowing him for a really long time. There's so many, many, many great musicians out there. That's what I like about this. It's always something to learn. I was always thrilled by some Coltrane coming to Chicago. Coltrane coming to Chicago, our 100th dinner invitation. I mean, can I do this for you, Coltrane? Can I do that? I consider myself fortunate to have come up in those kinds of times where if there was something you wanted to know from someone, you could go to them, and the only thing they wanted to know was were you serious about learning them, and then they could help you.
Yeah. Well, that's the beauty in the music and the beauty amongst the musicians, and we certainly appreciate everything you do to put that creativity on the earth, man. It's a blessing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today, Roscoe. Really appreciate it. You've been listening to Roscoe Mitchell right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat. I'm Leroy Downs on 1410 AM KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio, on the Four Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada.